all this good, the way she addresses you and respects you, and the way she prepares herself for you, the way she waits for you when you enter that house. When she does all these things for you, naturally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place the love of this woman inside your hearts. This is why the Arabs would say, bearing this in mind, there are six women that you shouldn't even go near or marry. Annana, Mannana, Hannana, Haddaqa, Barraqa, Shaddaqa, Annana. One that's always mourning and groaning. Always pretends that she's sick, she's not feeling well. And she's got a bandage around her head. Just doesn't want to do any of the housework. Annana. Mannana. One that always reminds you of what she's done for you. And reminds you of all the things that we could do. Hannana. One that was previously married and she's always talking about her first husband. Haddaqa. One that's looking like this. Every single thing that she sees in the shop, she has to buy. I want this, I want that. Oh, gee, I've got that. Bring me this as well. That's Haddaqa. Barraka. She's sitting in front of the mirror all day. And she comes with her right. And she comes with her left. And then it's Jado here and Jado there. That's Barraka. And Shaddaqa, one that's always... This is why the Arabs say, because of character, these are six women that you shouldn't go near. Second aspect. Third aspect that we should consider when we want to propose to a woman. Once we find somebody with inner beauty, now the deen says look for someone with the outer beauty. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself set the example. He asked Salama for his mother's hand in marriage, whose name was Zaba'a bint Amir. And at the time she was considered to be one of the most beautiful women from amongst the Arab. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam proposes. Salama says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nobody can turn you down. If you allow me, I would like to ask my mother first. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ask your mother. And he asks his mother. When his mother hears this, she says, Afi Rasulillahi tasta'miruni? Are you asking me with regards to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I would love to be resurrected as one of the wives of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment. Quickly go before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam changes his mind. He comes and he informs Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam of what his mother said. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't go ahead with this. Why? Because in the absence of her son, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed that Zuba'a bint Amir, now she is not as beautiful as she was before. She has lost all her teeth, and at the same time she has all these wrinkles on her face. So bearing this hadith in mind, and bearing the saying of Sayyidina Umar, who would say, لَا تَنْكِهُ الْمَرْأَةَ الرَّجُلَ الْكَبِيعَ الزَّمِينَ فَإِنَّهُنَّ يُحْبِبْنَا لِأَنفُسِهِنَّ مَا تُحِبُّونَ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. That you shouldn't marry your daughters to bad looking guys. Bearing this hadith and the saying of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, it is clearly evident that this is one aspect that we should consider at the time of marriage and not neglect. Why? It's so obvious that if the person that you have inside your house, you like them, you like what they look at, and she likes what she sees, you're not going to be looking at every other girl on the street or every other guy on the street. Why? Because you're content with what you have at home. Here I'd like to add, without offending anyone, a lot of our sisters and brothers, you know, we dress to kill for everyone else. Guy's going out with his friends and he's there to dress to kill, and he'll really look after himself. Sister's going to a wedding and she'll dress to kill. Well, the sad fact is, nobody will do this in their houses for their husbands. Nobody will dress up for their husbands. And the result of this is, that guy, because he can't get what he wants in his own house, he goes looking for it elsewhere. Likewise, same thing applies the other way around. The guy doesn't look good enough, and his wife looks for it elsewhere. So we need to do this. We need to prepare ourselves. The women need to prepare themselves for their husbands on a daily basis. They need to look good. And the guys need to look good for their wives. Fourth thing that we should be looking for in a woman. You need to listen to these things, Waqi. When I was reading up on these things, you know, the wisdom in the things that Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Waqi, is remarkable. If we follow these teachings of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, this thing called divorce would be non-existent. The first thing that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is, when you look for a woman, make sure that this woman hasn't been previously married or touched in a marital sense. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, عليكم بالأبكار فإنهن أعظب أفواها وأنتك أرحاما وأرضى باليسير. That at the time of marrying, give preference to virgin women. Why did he sallallahu alaihi wasallam say this? In the very hadith, the benefits have been mentioned. أعظب أفواها. Number one, they have sweeter mouths. Those that have married one in this sense will know exactly what I'm referring to. This woman has never been married before. She's never intermingled with men before. She's never spoken to or chatted with men in that sense. So everything about her is intact. Her haya, modesty, shame is all intact. And in that modesty, you will see the sweetness come out. Benefit number two, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَأَنْتَكُ أَرْحَامَ. Because she's young, tender age, she will be more fertile. Is that not so? وَأَرْضَى بِالْيَسِيرِ. She will be content with whatever little that you provide. Again, she's not been married before. She doesn't know what to expect, what she will receive. She has no expectations. So whatever little and halal that you bring for her, she will be happy with it. Benefit number four. All her love will be for you. First love, it's extraordinary. And because she's not married before, you will see that attachment to you. And that love for you, which words cannot describe. And the most important thing which I consider as number five, you know, if there's some weakness in her or something that you dislike, because she's young and tender, you will be all able to mold this woman exactly like you want. You'll be able to work on her easier. Because she has no experience in life, she will listen to everything that you say to the extent that she will begin to think the way you think, and she will like what you like, and she will do what you like. This is why our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala will say to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, أرأيت لو نزلت واديا وفيه شجرة قد أكل منها وفيه شجرة لم يؤكل منها في أي منها كنت ترضى بعيرك. Come Messenger of Allah, if you were to descend in a valley to graze your camels, and there was a tree which had been served for this purpose, and there was a tree which nobody had touched, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from which tree would you graze your camel? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say to our mother Aisha, I would graze my camel from the tree which has not been used for this purpose. And our woman was so sharp and so clever, she would turn around and say, Ya Rasulullah, I am the one then. Meaning what? She was referring to herself. Because all the women that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had married prior to this, had already been married. She was the only one that had not been previously married. So she was thinking, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then come to me. I am the one that has never been touched before. Now, having said this, this does not mean that it is not permissible to marry women that have been previously married. In some instances, it is far superior to marry women that have been previously married. Like in the case of Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, and Sayyidina Jabir says, okay, my father died, and he left seven little girls. I married a woman that had been previously married. I met Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, does the witch say, Ya Jabir? O Jabir, have you married? I said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I've married. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, Bikran am Sayyiba? One that has been previously married or one that has not been previously married? I said, Ya Rasulullah Sayyiba, I've married one that has been previously married. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Jabir, do you not marry one that you could, that you could make her laugh, she could make you laugh. One that you could play with, and she could play with you. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I didn't want to bring another one. I already have seven like this at home. I want you to bring one that can look after them all. This is why I married a woman that has been previously married. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave dua to Sayyidina Jabir, Ki Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you blessings in this marriage. So from this hadith we conclude, in certain instances, it is better to marry women that have been previously married. Adding to this, I would say in this day and age, looking at our culture and how we treat divorcees, and how we treat women that have been as what we call damaged goods previously married. How many of our sisters, out of no fault of their own, are sitting in the houses of their mothers and fathers, divorced? You know, there are some at the age of 16, 18, 20, 25, 30, bichari, are so young, out of no fault of their own. Or somebody whose husband's died, again out of no fault of her own, and bichari sitting in her mother's and father's house. But nobody will ask for their rishta. Why? Because we look down on divorcees, and we look down on women that are previously married. If somebody in this day and age, for the sake of Allah, was to marry a woman like this, only Allah and Allah knows alone how much reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give him. And to break these customs, on top of this, مَنْ تَمَسَّكَ بِسُنَّتِي إِنْدَ فَصَادِ أُمَّتِي فَلَوْ أَجْرُ مِعْتِ شَهِيدٍ. خُذْ نَبِي كَرِيمٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم did this. All the women, all our mothers, except for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, had been previously married. But today, we've set our own standards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. What number am I?
Five.
Alhamdulillah, at least somebody's listening. Five. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you will marry a woman that has potential to give birth. A sahabi came, Ma'qil ibn Yasar alayhi. A man came and said, Ya Rasulullah, inni asabdu imra'atan zada mansab wa jamal. Ya Rasulullah, there's this absolutely gorgeous woman. And she's got a bit of status about her as well. Only one problem. Innaha la talid. She can't get there. Shall I marry her? Afa'atazawajwa? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La, don't marry her. He came again. Ya Rasulullah, shall I marry her? Again, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, No. He came for a third time. Again, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, No. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تزوجوا الودود الولود فإني مكاثر بكم أم يوم القيامة. That marry women that are loving and that can give a lot of potential of giving birth to many children, as I want to have the biggest ummah on the day of judgment. You know, there is so much wisdom in these teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some of these things that I'm telling you today, you will not understand them if you're not married. You will only understand them after you're married. And you see what you've got. There's so much wisdom. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, can marry women that can give birth. You know, the biggest blessing, if not the biggest blessing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, is this blessing of children. Our children, وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ بَنِينَ وَحَفَظَ وَرَزَقَكُم مِّنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. You know, our children only go away for a week to their grandmothers and grandfathers' house. For those that have them, only those that have children, don't have children, will realize the value of this blessing. And how they will try under everything under the sun, they will possess billions and trillions, but that doesn't please them. Every luxury in the world, but till they don't have this blessing of a child, they will not rest. And they will try everything under the sun to get a girl, to get a boy. Only people that Allah has not blessed in this manner realize the value. And today, look at our children. Look at the way we're upbringing our children. Becoming the fuels of hell. So only people that don't have children will value this blessing. And this is the blessing. Okay, when our children are not with us, only for a week, how all of a sudden that very house becomes dead. I don't know about you, but I feel lost when my children are not with me. Absolutely lost. Okay, what's the purpose of living? So dead, so uncomfortable, so uneasy. And when them children come back, how all of a sudden the house becomes alive. So much life inside the house. This is the blessing of children. And when a woman gives birth, that bondage between husband and wife becomes strong. It becomes very strong. And then the love for that woman increases tenfold when she gives birth to her children. Does that about it? If a woman has children, the chances of you giving her divorce will be less in comparison to a woman that doesn't have children. And tomorrow, if you decide to remarry because this woman cannot give children, how hurt she would feel that you are marrying another person because of something that is not even her fault. It is not her choice to give birth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to who He wishes gives boys, to who He wishes gives girls, to who He gives both. To some He gives nothing. So how would that woman feel if you were to marry after this because of this reason? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says right at the beginning, if you're going to marry, make sure that the woman that you marry has the potential of giving birth. Number six, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَخَيِّرُوا لِنِسْفِكُمْ وَنْكِيُوا لَحْكِفَّةً. We need to look for compatibility, suitability. But this woman that we are marrying, you and her, you are compatible. And you can, you're on the same, I'd say, in the same, on the same wavelength. Wealth-wise, age-wise. I mean, somebody, some girl that's the age of 20, she marries somebody at the age of 80. It's not going to work. It so happens on a regular basis in the Arab world where the women are sold like this to some sheikh. He's not going to be able to fulfill her, right? And if he is now, how long is he going to be able to keep on fulfilling this young girl's, this young woman's right? And if he's unable to fulfill her right, where is this woman going to turn to? She's going to turn to sin. And this is what exactly what happened. Likewise, she's a millionaire. She's been brought up in luxuries, received every blessing under the sun. And you're like me, a Charlie on the street that doesn't possess a penny. It's not going to work. Why? Because she's got these great expectations. She will be wanting exactly the same, shopping at Harrods. You and I shop at Netto's. It doesn't work. Even she'll say the milk is not the same. You know, there's so much wisdom in the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know. Number seven, we will look at the family, the household, the character of the family, how pious this household is. Why? Because this girl, she's been brought up in this household. And to an extent, because she's been living there for years, that household will have had some effect on this girl. Simple. If you stick around with good guys, you will pick up good habits. Stick around with the bad guys, you will pick up bad habits. On top of this, we should look at the environment that this girl's grown up in. Why? Say she's from Las Vegas. Total azadi. Total freedom. She's grown up in an environment of total freedom. And you and I were some Bedouins living in some desert in a tent. And we want to take this girl, listen very carefully to what I'm saying because I'm conveying a message. And we want to take this girl to this environment. Chances are it's not going to work. This is why we find many of our marriages are not working, because we're doing this in exactly the same way. So we need to look at this, and we need to look at all these aspects that I've mentioned, giving priority to the deen. And inshallah, if we look at this, hopefully the marriage will work. So this is the second mistake that we are making. Mistake number three. This is rife. Is that we, in instances, force our children to marry against their will. It's a common story. Probably happened in your household with one member of your family. We emotionally blackmail them. We will pressurize them. We will disown them. Tell them that they're not going to inherit a single penny if they don't do as they say. I'm telling you, if you don't want to marry a certain girl, or the girl doesn't want to marry a certain boy, then don't do it for the sake of Allah. Why? Because this is what happens. You go ahead and get married. You call this girl from Pakistan or India, and then you go and chill with some other girl. That bichari has sacrificed every single thing, and she's left her mother, her father, everything, and she's come to this country. She can't even say "uff" because of her mother-in-law. And she lives in oppression for the rest of her life while you chill and thrill with some other girl. Are you going to answer for this oppression on the day of judgment? She will kill you on that day of judgment. She will kill you on that day of judgment. And you will have no way of escaping on that day. So if you don't want to marry, then say no. There is nobody on the face of this earth that can force you to marry against your will. I am not encouraging here, and please don't get me wrong, I am not encouraging children to go against the wish of their mother and father. I'm not encouraging this. For this, listen to the talk, Key to Salvation, in where you will see the status of mother and father. It is not the right of the mother and father to force their children to marry against their will. The hadith of Ibn Abbas, a woman comes and she says to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, this is what my father did. He married me to such and such a person who I dislike. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her choice. If you want, you can break the marriage. And if you want, you can continue living as you are. She said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will continue living as I am. But I want to tell the fathers and the mothers that they cannot force their children to marry against their will. Zarbasa, if they marry against their will, they are unhappy. And before you know it, the marriage has come to an end. Divorce. And it's okay for the guy, he can so easily marry again. But bearing out in mind our culture, where we don't marry divorcees, what's going to happen to this girl? She will stay in the house of her mother for the rest of her life. This is nothing but oppression. Mistake number four. And this only happens in some households. And that is that we don't allow our children to see the girl that they wish to marry. The first time I heard this, I was shocked. I just didn't believe that something like this would even take place in England, where they don't allow you to see the girl that you want to marry. And today, I still can't comprehend as to why this happens. The first time I heard it, the guy wanted to marry this girl. And the girl's family were prepared to show him the photograph, though that's not like reality, is it? And at the same time, they were prepared to show him the girl's sister. But they were not allowed to show him the girl. And on top of this, this girl has been studying in these schools to the age of 18 without hijab, where every Tom, Dick and Harry has seen her. And the one person with regards to whom the Prophet of Allah gives permission for him to see her, the mother and father don't allow her to see her. What's the logic in this? On the contrary, Islam encourages you to see the girl that you are to marry. Mughira ibn Shu'bah came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is such and such a girl. I'm intending to propose. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, have you seen her? He said, no. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go first and go see her. It's so possible by seeing her that Allah, this will create love, and Allah will place love between you. It is permissible for a girl to see the boy, as it is permissible for a boy to see the girl. Mistake number, whatever it is.
Five.
Six, whatever. We don't make istikhara. Majority of us at the time of marriage, we don't make istikhara. We don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his advice, and we don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. Yet, it is desirable and it is masnoon to make istikhara at the time of taking every great step in life. And what step could be bigger than marriage? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially at the time of marriage, has encouraged us as Muslims to make istikhara. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how good this person may seem to you, no matter how good this girl may seem to you, she might or he might not just be the one for you. I mean, look at our mother, Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. When she was divorced by Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, when her period of waiting came to an end, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Zayyidina Zayd to ask for a hand in marriage for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, look who's sending the proposal, the best of creation. And she turns around and says, Ya Rasulullah, Ma ana bi sani'atin shay'in hatta u'amil rabbi, that I will not come to a decision till I don't ask the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when should we make istikhara? Istikhara should be made when one's heart is not inclined towards anything. The heart is absolute empty. You're not inclined towards marrying her, and at the same time you're not inclined not towards marrying her. Not the way we make istikhara. We're on these internet. Biggest fitna of the time. Mobile phone. And we shine away day and night. And committing, I'm going to rephrase this, every haram in the book. You know, it all starts with good intentions, isn't it? MashaAllah, everyone that you speak to, Islam gives permission to find out things. And then you find out one thing, you find out another thing. And before you know it, you committed zina. Biggest fitna of the time, the internet and the mobile phone. And you know, we shine with this girl for hours. And then Zamana, this is the one that we saw in our dreams. Who else are you going to see in your dreams? The person, you know, that's stuck in your head and every bone that's flowing in your veins day and night, that is the person that you're going to see in your dreams. This is not istikhara. Istikhara when your heart is empty. No inclination towards either side. Neither the positive side, neither the negative side. That is when you make istikhara and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. Sixth mistake. And this is the biggest mistake that we make. And this takes place after marriage. And that is, we just fail to recognize one another. It's so simple. But if this is the biggest mistake. We fail to recognize one another as husband and wife. We fail to recognize the tabi'iyah and the nature. The woman fails to recognize the nature of her husband. And the man fails to recognize the nature of his wife. This is why the first thing Islam did was, it taught the woman this. O woman, this guy that you are now marrying is the most important thing in your life. He's more important than your mother and your father. So important that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to this woman that had it been permissible for anyone to prostrate before anyone, then I would have ordered you to prostrate before your husband. And if there was blood and pus to come out of his womb, and then you were to lick it clean, though it is not permissible to do this, it is just emphasizing the status of a husband. If you were to lick it clean, you would not have fulfilled the right of your husband. Another hadith of women. There was a man who went on a journey, and he told his wife not to leave her house. Now her father became sick. Listen very carefully to this. Her father became sick. She asked for permission to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, can I go visit my father? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ittaqillah wa la tukhalifi zawjak. Fear the Almighty Allah and do not disobey your husband. Her father later died. She said again, Ya Rasulullah, can I attend the janazah of my father? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ittaqillah wa la tukhalifi zawjak. Fear Allah and do not go against the command and the wish of your husband. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, tell this woman that I forgave her because of the obedience that she showed to her husband. This is what Islam said to the woman. Now it just doesn't work one way. Islam said to the guy, أَخَذْتُمُوهُنَّ بِأَمَانَةِ اللَّهِ وَاسْتَحْلَلْتُمْ فُرُوجَهُنَّ بِكَلَمَةِ اللَّهِ. You took them with the trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you made them halal for you with the words of Allah. Istawsu bin nasa'i khayra. Thus, you will take good care of these women. O man, thalathun kana yatakallamu bihinna hatta talajlaja lisana wa khafiya lisana. Three things that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept on repeating and kept on mentioning before he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world and his breath was no more. And one of the three things that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned and would keep on mentioning, O man, Allah, Allah, fin nisa. Fear the Almighty Allah. Fear the Almighty Allah with regards to your wife. So this is what Islam did. It taught man and woman the importance of one another. You know, when we don't know the importance of a certain thing, we have no value for it. I mean, a child, you give him a diamond, the guy's going to take it and throw it away. He doesn't know the value of a diamond. You give the same child some sweets, and you can get that child to do anything for you. Islam did exactly the same thing. It taught us the importance of one another. After teaching us the importance, Islam now said, Ashiruhunna bil ma'ruf. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Islam said that you will live with one another in court. You will speak to one another gently, lovingly, caringly, affectionately. You will do good to one another all the time. You will prepare yourselves in good for one another. She will dress for you, you will dress for her. At the same time, Islam explains something to the men. Why? Because we are the ones with authority in our houses. To make it easy for us to act upon this verse of the Quran, Islam explained. It explained to us the nature of this woman that we have now brought inside our house. Why? So that we don't look for perfection in her. You know, we're always looking for perfection. We're not perfect ourselves. But for everything else, we're looking for perfection. So that we don't look for this perfection, and that it is pointless looking for perfection, Islam explained the nature of this woman that we brought inside our house. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْمَرْأَةُ كَبْدِلْ. That this woman that you brought, she's like a rib. If you try to straighten this rib, you will break it. And if you want to take advantage of this rib, you will have to take advantage of it as it is, with its curve and bentness that a rib's got. If you want to take advantage of this rib, you will have to take advantage of it as it is. Now, what's a rib made out of? Bone, isn't it? At least the little ones know. It's made out of bone, number one. Secondly, the beauty of a rib is in the way it has been made, with its curve, with its bentness. Somebody clever coming along, and he wants to straighten this rib. Is he going to be able to do it? Why? It's bone. If you try to straighten that bone, it's going to crack. And if you want to take advantage of this rib, you will have to take advantage of it with its beauty, in the way that it's been made. Likewise, if somebody clever comes along and he wants to rectify his wife, and he wants to straighten her 100%, he's going to break her. How would you break her? Talaq. And if you want to take advantage of her, you will have to take advantage of your wife in the beautiful way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created her, with her nature, and that nature will always stay with her. Islam further explained, you know, these teachings of Islam, Allahu Akbar, Salam Jai, divorce would never come if we knew this. Islam further explained again to both man and wife, guy, remember one thing, nobody's perfect. Nobody, not human being, is perfect. Everybody has some defect or some weakness about them. Everybody has something good about them. And everything has something which somebody else doesn't like. So Islam said, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know that woman that you've got at home? And said to the woman, you know that guy that you've got at home? It is so possible that after all this homework that I've been talking about for the last 2 hours, after all this homework, you know, you looked for the deen, you looked for this, you looked for that, you looked for this, and you did all this homework. It is so possible that in spite of this, there will be certain things that you dislike. And it's so possible that after she doing all this homework, it's so possible that there are certain things that she dislikes. If this comes about, you will overlook it. And you will look at the good things that you see in them. And you will always remind yourself of the good things. Look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, مَا غِرَتُ عَلَىٰ إِمْرَأَةٍ مَا غِرَتُ عَلَىٰ خَتِيجَةٍ. I have never envied any woman as I envied our mother Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Why? She died 3 years before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even married me. But in spite of this all the time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make a good mention of her. He would praise her, he would talk good about her to the extent that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sometimes slaughter a goat and he would distribute the meat of this goat amongst the friends of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, on one occasion an old woman came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving so much attention to this woman. كيف أنتم كيف حالكم كيف كنتم بعدنا. I said, بأبي وأمي يا رسول الله. I said, oh messenger of Allah, my mother and father be sacrificed upon you. تقبل على حاضر رجول حاضر إقبال. You saw so much respect and you gave so much love and attention to this old woman. Who is she? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the same woman that would visit us at the time of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. Now if this is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha's friend, how do you think he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took care of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha? Look at Hazrat Umar. Who doesn't know Umar Farooq? Who is ignorant of the status of Umar? Who doesn't know that even the shaitan would change his path when he saw Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anha? A Bedouin comes and he wants to complain to the Amir al-Mu'mineen about his wife and that she's always giving him a hard time. And he gets to the doors of Umar. And when he gets to the doors of Umar, he can hear the wife of Umar giving Sayyidina Umar a hard time. And she's digging in left, right and center. The Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the, at the time he was the commander of the faithful. And he's just listening to everything his wife's saying. This guy's thinking, if this is the situation of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, who's known for his firmness and his strictness and his uprightness, I've got no chance. So he's returning. Sayyidina Umar sees him and asks him, why did you come in to complain about my wife? But when I saw your wife, I've got no chance. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu explains, oh my friend, I tolerate all this. Why? Because of all the good things that she does for me. Inna sabbakhatun li ta'ami. She cooks for me. She makes my bread. She looks after my good thing. I overlook this. This is nothing. Islam further explains that there is no couple on the face of this earth that will not have a difference. How and then will have some difference? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was no exception. Our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu is angered. And she turns around and says to the Nabi of Allah, أنت الذي تزعم. Are you the one that claims that he's a prophet? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tolerated this. So there is not a single person on the face of this earth, no couple that will not have a difference now and then. Islam taught us, you know, when this happens, ليس الشديد بالسرعة إنما الشديد الذي يملك نفسه.